Blog Talk Radio.
And this is the thing. There's a lot of people that, you know, died this year and the year before that and the year before that. There's going to be people that died in 2012. You know, every day. You know, let's say if you didn't make it until Christmas this past Sunday. If you didn't make it, you know, and you were waiting for it. What were you waiting for? This is just my question. This is what I'm asking. And, you know, Mark Dixon is here. Tony, Boboni, Banana Fanta. Okay. I'm sorry. It's the idiot in me that comes out every once in a while. And Aaron Anderson, Mr. Diehard. You know, so, with or without. Yeah, he takes his coffee. Okay. And that didn't mean anything. I'm just talking. You know, when you're a DJ, you're full of words and they got to come out. But anyway, I don't understand why people don't do what they can, whether it's the holiday or not. I used to say when my mother was alive, every day my mother was alive is a holiday, because she was a precious woman. She was, you know, and I'm, you know, that's the way I feel about my mother. I'm sure that, you know, everybody else has, you know, somebody that was in their life that they feel strong about, that, you know, held their hand, wiped their nose, wiped their booty, you know, and gave them information and instructions and directions, you know. And I know I'm not alone, but I think my mother was the top. So, you know, and just to talk to her, you know, knowing that there are mothers that leave, fathers that leave, you know, people that turn their backs on you, and knowing that she could have and she didn't, which is, you know, she needs a Grammy, an Oscar, she needs, you know, a Marconi, whatever it is, because, you know, and I'm not as bad as they are, but I'm bad enough to make you say, I've had enough of that kid. So, but anyway, Jay King on his show tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific, is going to be talking about 2012, the prediction. It's going to be an interesting show. I'm going to be on that show tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific. So, you know, it's 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. Today at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Rodney Jackson and Carolyn, they're going to talk. Rodney and Carolyn are going to talk. Welcome to their house, you know. And, you know, if a woman's on the show, wouldn't it be welcome to her house? You know, I know they're cousins, but, you know, when a woman's in the picture, isn't it a woman's house? Because a woman's not going to live in filth where a guy will. You know, so when you look at it, you know, I say like this, hey, yeah, I can tell a woman lives here. Okay. I'm just because there's no dust, there's no dirt. You know, even the clothes and the stuff that looks out of order, it's clean. Well, if a guy, it's filth, it's trash if he lives by himself. Unless he's got like an odd couple type person that lives and he's meticulous like Monk or something like that. But anyway, that's at 5 o'clock. Rodney Jackson and Carolyn Sherrard, welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. That's today. Final day of this year, 2011. You know, so we're going to talk about what happened for Christmas for the two guys that are on the show today. And we're going to like to say hello to Eric McAllister. He's on the show. He, you know, when I look at the chat room when I'm on, he's in the chat room, and I'm into it. And Z Jones, she's in the chat room, and I'm sure other people will come in because I put it on. I twittered it, or, you know, tweeted, whatever. I put it on the Facebook, you know, told a couple of people that I was walking down the street, hey, I'm going to be on the Internet. Hey, fuck you. Hey, fuck you. You know, so. No, I didn't do that. But it sounded cool, didn't it? Oh, my God. We're going to have a fantastic, well, not 2 hours now because, you know, 8 minutes have gone by. And, hey, a lot of things happened. And this is what I want to say. We're going to look back to 2011. And this is what I wanted to say, that as we look back, you know, there were things that happened in 2010 that we're not even thinking about. At 2009, and there were some major things. My question is, you know, like, do ants look back at the 2011? Man, we were rushed out. You know, do beetles and birds have, like, holidays and look back and say, hey, man, you know, they didn't shoot us down. Pheasants, hey, we got away. You know, we only lost 50 this year. You know, do they look back? Do they have Christmas? Do they have New Year's? Do they make resolutions? You know, of course not. They just live their life in the wild and have the blast that we should be having. And we're the more intelligent species, so they say. But I guess that's not true, is it? We fight and kill relentlessly. But we're going to look back. The intro that was on my show, that's called Gotta Get Away, instrumental, written, performed, and produced by Anthony A.K. King. For more of his music, go to anthonyakking.com. You better check it out, baby. We're going to have a great time today. And, yeah. And what's the name of the show, guys?
Cool Critics.
Cool Critics, baby. Cool Critics. Yeah. So. What's the matter, Aaron?
I just want to make sure you can hear me. Okay.
You're kind of quiet.
Okay.
You probably need to, like, crank the volume up. Turn up the volume. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Remember that song?
Not that version.
No, of course not. Because they say crank up, turn up, pump up the volume.
How do I sound now?
Oh, good, man. This is the way you sounded when you first came on, and I'm very happy, happy and proud. So we're going to play a couple of songs, as we always do, and then we're going to come back and start the show. So...
is thunder. Sex is thunder.
Have you ever had it? It is natural procreation. Would we really want it if it wasn't a sensation?
From iTunes, only 99 cents. Tell your friends to download the song. Text your friends to buy Sister Sister by Karen White. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your MySpace. Email it. Plain and simple, Spread the word, children. Karen White's single, Sister Sister, is ready for the download now.
Who's Karen White?
You mean you don't know the Superwoman? Sister Sister, Karen White, for only 99 cents now on iTunes. When you listen to or are on Kings in the Morning, are you free to say and do what you want?
A very little latitude.
The J. King Network is growing in strong numbers.
Can you explain that?
Absolutely.
Well, there's J. King, Johnny Davis, Darius McCrary, Karen White,
Lou Tolliver.
And a lot of people are wondering why Robert Redwine is on the show.
Snotty little bastard. My answer is I don't have the first damn clue.
On the J. King Network, you get information, facts, fun, laughter,
entertainment,
and you will always get the truth.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you can't handle the truth!
Christmas was actually very nice, very low-key.
Okay.
I've got a huge project that I'm finishing up for a client, and worked until midnight on Christmas Eve, and
okay,
and was just kind of comatose all day Christmas, but it was very, very nice.
Comatose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On
That's
the
a nice word. out to lunch. You know.
There you go.
But still alive, comatose. What about you, Aaron? What was your Christmas like?
Ditto. You know, I pretty much slept all day Christmas, you know, which was fine with me. You know, I caught up on some sleep. But, it was good.
Were you sad on Christmas?
You know what? For a split second, yeah. I did
for a split second? What was it that made you sad for that split second?
Just because I was lost by myself. I wasn't getting any gifts. I didn't have anybody to buy for, and, you know. Not that I would have cared to get
That's a blessing.
It is nice, you know, when you do get something.
When you don't have an obligation, a Christmas obligation. Because sometimes people can put, like, a full-court press on you, like Michael Jordan and, Jimmy Tewksbury, although there's nobody named Jimmy Tewksbury, but it sounded good. So anyway, what team does he play on? Yeah. Jimmy Tewksbury. Okay, Jimmy Tewksbury for three. Okay, so now, and that's kind of what makes the holidays unpleasant, when you have holiday pressure. But if it's light-hearted, you know, I had a nice Christmas. It was quiet, you know, and that's the way it is. And I used to say this a long time ago. The greatest Christmas gift for me is no monthly installments after. You know, you pay for something, you know, 12 months later, you're still paying for something you got for somebody last year. Okay, we're going to step up to some of the things that happened this past year. We lost a couple of people. I know Amy Winehouse was Erin Anderson's favorite. Not that she died, but, you know, I know she was a favorite, and she did die. Joe Frazier, he's gone. I think he was 69 years old. Elizabeth Taylor, Michael Jackson's first girlfriend, if... No, just joking. You know, Michael Jackson's sister to sister, sister to sister. And Steve Jobs. Some people say Jobs, some people say Jobs, some people say tomato. You know, what is it? Is it Jobs or is it Jobs?
I've always thought Jobs.
You thought Jobs? Okay.
Yeah. But
I'll go with Jobs.
Okay. I'm odd man out, huh? Okay. Musical chairs. There's only two chairs that Mark and Aaron are sitting in, so I'm out. That was a fun game, wasn't it? No, not when you weren't the one in the chair. Okay, so there are other people that did make it too, but I don't know if they were notable. And here's something about that. Notable death. You know, there are people that died throughout the world that were close to somebody, a brother, a sister, a mother, somebody, and there were no headlines about it. So, pardon?
Just think like Osama bin Laden, you know, to a lot of people, you know, they're probably celebrating his death right now.
Right.
Or mourning.
And Kim Jong-lee. Isn't that his name?
Kim Jong-il?
Ill, or whatever, you know, Jackie Lee, Brandon Lee, you know, Jet Lee. I'm just joking. Lil, yeah, I guess, ill, or whatever his name is.
But someone else I don't want omitted from this list is Troy Davis.
Troy Davis.
Right, I think we should remember his death as well.
Who was Troy Davis?
He was executed earlier this year. Wasn't that his name?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The black guy who was killed
right after
people recanted the story, and everybody thinks it was an innocent man that was killed.
Right.
You know, 2011 had some milestones and stuff. You know, but as we go into 2012, I bet you we forget and stop talking about all of them unless we use them as a reference to something that happens next year. So, Mark, name a person that was a notable person, so they say, that died that meant something to you and one that may have died that, you know, everybody doesn't know, that, but it still meant something to you?
Wow. That's a good one.
Okay.
Well, you know what? We've already mentioned Steve Jobs.
Right.
And being in the industry for as long as I have.
Right.
He really was inspirational to me.
Okay.
From early on, I mean, I started my career when I got out of college back in 82 selling computers, and it was a huge competition between IBM and Apple.
Okay.
And it just happened that the retail store that I worked for, Micro Center, we had separate stores for each product line. So Apple had its own store within the little mini mall that we took over.
Okay.
And IBM had their own store. And I worked on the IBM side, but I always envied the people who worked on the Apple side, because it was just such a cool freaking product.
That their graphics were cooler. Didn't they bring the icon?
Well, it's a roundabout story. Yeah, they created what they call the GUI, the graphical user interface, which are
right.
icons, and they forwarded the use of the mouse to click on things.
Okay.
And, you know, make things happen, which
do before?
Before, we wrote on a little green and black screen, a black screen with little green typing.
Okay.
And it was just archaic. I mean, I can't believe that I even know DOS language. You know,
right.
You know, some of the command lines, I still remember those. You know, I can get around without a graphical interface if I really have to. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
The tree.
And then, ironically enough, after I left Micro Center, I went to work for Xerox in their systems department, because they were actually trying to sell computers at the time. And Xerox is actually the company who created the mouse, who created laser printing, who created, you know, a lot of the technologies that Steve Jobs sort of borrowed.
Made more popular.
And made more popular.
Yeah.
And you know, made mainstream. So I found myself competing with them again, because I was selling a workstation that cost like $17,000. For printing.
Okay.
And you could, at that time, it was the Macintosh that was the hot computer that Apple put out.
Right.
And you can buy it for $3,000.
Right.
You know, which sounds like, you know, craziness now, you know, that even.
Yeah, it does sound crazy, because you can get computers for $500, you know, and less, and you could really, like, get, like, portable workstations for, like, $200, $250, and, you know,
right.
have, like, a. Yeah, so
you could have a, you know, an iPad or an Android tablet that's 50 times more powerful than, you know, those computers right now, you know, for
right.
a fraction of the cost.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Steve Jobs on the worldwide known thing, and then on a personal level.
I lost my mom this year.
Yeah.
And that was. I was her primary caretaker for the last, you know, 3 or so years, and even before that, I took care of both of my parents.
Right.
I lost my dad, 3 or 4 years ago. It's all kind of cloudy, but
does it get any easier?
No.
Because lose my mother every time I see somebody die. It's sensational on television.
Exactly.
Like in a story. Every time somebody dies, you know, I think about the people that meant something to me. They're dying again.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and, you know, just and little bitty things as you go, you know, through the day.
Right.
There's remembrances of her. So,
and did your mother and father warn you that that was going to happen?
You know, yes, but
okay.
you don't really think about it when they're here, because I had them for such a long time.
You were blessed.
Yeah, I truly was.
Yeah.
They were both in their mid-80s, so... You know, I was lucky enough to have them when a lot of people around me, you know, had lost their parents. Now, the only good thing, and if it could be called a good thing, is that she was really very, very sick for like the last year of her life. And it was only through the incredible medical systems that we have here in Cleveland in particular that, you know, they kept her going, but her quality of life was poor. So in a really odd way, it was sort of a relief, you know, because I knew she was in a better place.
Right.
And, you know, not suffering. I didn't have to worry about her, you know, her care. Not that, you know, my worrying means anything, but, you know, she was ready and we were all prepared, but that's mine.
Right. All right, Aaron, yours?
I was going to say Troy Davis, but I would have
you
to
can,
go back.
You can still say it. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, I was sure that with between Troy Davis and Amy Winehouse, you know, the Troy Davis thing just struck me. I remember just because I've been following, back when I was driving a truck, I was following the case. I was listening to Sirius Radio.
Okay.
And I can't think of the show, but it's... I used to listen to a show, and they were always talking about that case then. It was coming up for execution. And so when it finally happened, you know, it just struck me like, you know, if it could happen to him, it could happen to me, it could happen to you, you know. And I don't know, just to put some – I never did like the death penalty, you know, it's just so final and – So that one kind of struck me. And Amy Winehouse, I picked her because, for one thing, she kind of accidentally started the show. You know, I think of it.
You know, I don't think, you know, I don't know if you would call it an accident, you know, but it was because of her.
Right. So, you know, she's very special to me in a lot of ways. I just always liked her music. I was working out the other day and I was playing her album.
Okay.
Man, just the talent she had, you know. I mean, she was an actual singer. That's what I liked about her. A lot of what you hear on the radio today just isn't even close to singing.
They're performers.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think that's being generous. but
that's the way it's always been. There were probably more talented vocalists and singers in the, you know, early years, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know. But, you know, what a person likes, like a consumer, you know, what they've been fed and what they chomp on, that's them. That's what they want. You know, and we're never going to get the true picture because there's no money in the true picture. There's no profit. What happened to the shoe that never wore out? What happened to the water ran engine? You know, we're not going to get the truth. We're just not. You know, and I think it was yesterday on Kings in the Morning, we were talking about the poisons that we eat. You know, it's about profit. It's not about you. It's not about us. And with Troy Davis, you said, you know, it could happen to you. When Troy Davis was killed, that was happening to us. You know, that was happening to a person that, you know, may not have done, you know, based upon the information that came before he was executed, he wasn't guilty. That was happening to us. Not only could it happen, that was happening to us as we saw it. So, yeah. And who's the person personal?
I would go with my Aunt Essie. She passed away. They just had her funeral a couple of weeks ago. And she lived for a very long time, turned 90s, I believe. And I hadn't seen her in a while. And I didn't go to her funeral, and, you know, and but I don't want to. I want to just remember her the way I remember her. You know, she was always kind of full of life and spunky, and I didn't want to know her any other way, you know. So
yeah, a couple of great movies that indicate when you move on, just like when Gerald Levert, you know, it was the celebration of life about the things that he did. You know, I'm not going to mention the name of the movies, but, you know, they said after they died in combat or something, let's not talk about how he died, let's talk about how he lived. And, you know, with death, our destiny, because we're all headed there, you know, if we focus on positive things, then, you know, we can have a more positive outcome. You know, it'll be a lot more positive than if we concentrate on the negative. Okay, so that's that. For me, there was no big notable person that died that, you know, meant anything to me. You know, personally, there were quite a few people that died. You know, Mark's mother, I used to be the paper boy. So, you know, I knew the Dixons when I was growing up as a kid. Kevin Chilius, you know, he lost his mother. There's quite a few people like that. And that's where the real is for me, because I never met Joe Frazier. I never met Amy Winehouse. And I'm not putting you guys down about that, you know. You know, I'm just saying that that's me. I never met those people, and I don't put anybody in a category above me or below me or above you or below you. We're all here until we're not. You know, and what contribution that people have made, like, you know, apparently, without a doubt, Mrs. Dixon did a good job with her bringing up her children. You know, that's a heck of a statement to make. As I said earlier, you know, parents run. They do. They abandon. And then somebody's left to, you know, pick up the tab and take off or take over, you know, which is a sad thing. But, you know, life goes on with or without you. So there's been quite a few people that have left that we'll never hear about on a wide scale, you know, if it's not in the newspaper. So that's that. There were a couple of major marriages, if I'm not mistaken. The prince, one of the princes in England got married, and that was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But not for us. I mean, we're guys. For me. You know, we're thinking like this. So what?
As a matter of fact, I avoided television during that whole period because I knew it was going to be nothing but that pomp and circumstance. Did not matter.
I like that kind of stuff. You know what? I missed it. I wanted to see it, but
well, you can see it on YouTube, or I'm pretty sure there's like the royal wedding. I'm pretty sure you could get a DVD or something like that.
So, you know, I do like that. I do like all that kind of stuff. You know,
what is it that you liked about them? You know, the England great wedding.
I don't know. I just the whole like the pomp and circumstance. I mean, not the specific. I just like the, you know, the
pageantry, glam and the glitter, all the talking and the action, the activity, the paparazzi stuff. Yeah.
You know, you don't get to see inside that family too often, and it's like little glimmers of, you know, like these weddings and, you know, maybe a funeral that you actually see them come out and maybe express a smidget of emotion. So I don't know. I just find that interesting.
Okay, and another wedding that was big was Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian. You know, that was a pretty big ordeal. I mean, you know, they promoted it, they talked about it, and then, you know, half of the men were thinking, that damn Chris Humphries is a lucky fuck, huh? What did you think, Mark?
For me, the jury is still out on that. I still think it was a publicity stunt.
Okay.
Either that or she is just so into herself. And you know what really kind of struck me is that there was a poll, I guess, just like last week, that talked about the most hated NBA players.
Right.
And LeBron James actually was surpassed by Chris Humphries.
No kidding.
People hate Chris Humphries more than they hate LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and that whole crew now. And
because of the divorce?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But yeah. And it's like, are you kidding me?
So is this a survey of guys that was taken?
No, I think it was
just people.
Just people.
Because I think a lot of guys hated LeBron James, where I think it would be women hated Chris. And this is just me thinking as a quick view. Because, you know, why would a guy care? Like, this, hey, they didn't make it. Hey, so what? But, you know, he was in it for, you know, a minute. He was in it for a minute.
Right.
You know. And that was an accident.
Probably a lot of guys didn't even realize that he got married to her.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Kardashian thing baffles me. I mean, these are people, and Barbara Walters did a fantastic job when she interviewed them. And
okay.
I get her statement in particular, but when she was doing her most interesting people, and she had all three of them, the Kardashian sisters, in front of the camera, in front of the mic, and she said, why are we watching you? You don't have any talent. You don't do anything. Why are you famous?
And what was the answer?
You know, they really didn't have a satisfactory answer. I think they had an answer that was...
Kia has a song that has the answer.
Oh, okay. But basically... You know
that song, don't you?
Not sure if I do.
My butt, my crack, you know, Kia.
Well, only one of them is, you know, in particularly well endowed, but.
Right.
But, yeah. No, they really didn't have an answer except people want to look into their lives and.
Right.
It's like, I don't. I never understood the whole. I'm not a big reality show fan, so.
Yeah.
You know, no basketball.
But here's the thing again, like I said earlier, what people buy into, because they don't buy into every reality show. You know, there have been quite a few that have flopped. But, you know, there's some, you know, depending upon how well they're marketed, how well they're branded, you know, and, you know, for the moment. And even though, you know, they're making a lot of money and you know, the show's a success, you know, what's going to happen like 10, 20 years from now? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they won't be unhappy. But we'll move on to the next fad. There's always been fads, the hula hoop, the pet rock, you know, bungee jumping, you know, whatever it is that they do. So that's what people want, so we've been told. But like Al Gore, who won the popular vote, we're never going to get the truth. We just aren't, I don't think.
Nope.
That's what I think. You know, that's what I feel.
Well, I know when the Osbournes was on, I used to love that show.
See?
I'm not usually into that kind of stuff, but, you know.
But sometimes something happens that you see, you know, a set of tits, you know, a new car.
And you know what, Aaron, you're right. The Osbournes, they were a train wreck. You just had to watch them because Ozzy, it took me half the show just to figure out what Ozzy was saying.
Yeah, that's the way I heard it once. You know, this is the thing.
I will say, though, just real quickly.
Go ahead.
Being Bobby Brown was a great reality show.
Yeah, I watched it a couple of times, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But this is the thing. There are other people that are not singers or actors or politicians or whatever, and they have more dramatic lives than that, that would probably get more ratings. But here's what happens. Sometimes when you see somebody else's tragedy, that makes you feel good about yourself. Not only, you know, is entertainment something that makes you happy, sometimes it makes you think. Sometimes you need to be provoked into action. Sometimes you need, like, a wound needs healing within you. Maybe sometimes, you know, you're unhappy about something, and then you see Ozzy Osbourne, and you're thinking, wow, that ain't me. So you are elevated in your emotion, and you feel good about that. And then you could talk about them. And, you know, I remember that, you know, one of the periods of my popularity, there was a lot of people that couldn't stand, well, there wasn't a lot, but there was quite a few people that hated me. you know, and that was because you can't hate your cheating wife. You can't, you know, hate your father. You can, but, you know, some people find it difficult to tell their older sister to get off their back. Hey, get off my back. They can't do it. You know, I know a lady who had a problem with her mother. She was losing her hair. So it's so easy to say, I hate Obama. You know, I think Newt Gingrich is an asshole. You know, hey, how can Ozzy Osbourne get on the show? Those are all negative chants. You know, and they may be true, but they're all negative. You're not going to say, my father's an asshole. You know, so some of these things are giving you an outlet to channel your negative energy to release that stress that you may have about something that is closer to you. And then I used to say that because sometimes, you know, that Just the Two of Us show we had was live. And then I said, hey, you're free to hate me. You know, and when you do hate me, you still have to say my name. I hate who? I hate Lynn Tolliver. Thanks for the plug. Okay, so now I turned everything to a positive. So, but those shows and all of them, you know, you may not like the Kim Kardashians keeping up with the Kardashians, but you may like, you know, Family Jewels. Or you may have liked the MTV. I think they're the ones that started that reality TV thing, you know, in the form that it is. Because, you know, live shows and unexpectations like, what do you call it? Candid Camera, which was back in the late 60s or somewhere around in that period. That's like reality TV, mm-hmm. where you go in and you set somebody up and, you know, tell them like punk. You know, punk and stuff. You know, stuff like that. But, you know, the way it is now, MTV was, I think, the first to put it in the caption that it is. So they're like releases for us. That's what entertainment is all about to me. We're going to talk about some great cases that, you know, people were talking, you know, talking about this past year and some other things. Mark Dixon is here, Tony, Aaron Anderson. You know, Amy Winehouse, you know, if he could thank you, he would kiss you and hug you and pull your wig off. I'm just, but would you do that, Aaron?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, yeah, I sure would. At 2 o'clock tomorrow, Jay King does the 2012 prediction. Going to be an interesting show. It's 2 p.m. Pacific. The phone number to call is 347-205-9366. Up at 5 p.m. Pacific today, 8 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show, with Rodney Jackson and Carolyn Sherrard. This is Lynn Tolliver, Sessions Cool Critics, Aaron Anderson, Mark Dixon, on the J. King Network.
I think about the day I met the perfect stranger. Think about us. And I think about the day I got wrapped around your finger. I think about us. The sun was shining on you. The Lord was smiling on me. Love was calling us. I had my mind made up. And I can't stop loving you. I can't help myself. And I can't get over you. No matter what I tell myself. Thought I'd ever love anyone else. In my weakness, I think about us. And I think about the day you left without speaking. I think about. About the love we had. I think about the way we laugh without a reason. I think about us, girl, yeah. There will be no more lies. Somebody tell me why I feel like I'm dying. Lord, what's come over me? Baby, can't you see that I can't stop loving you? I can't stop loving you. I don't know why I think about us. I think about us. I think about us.
Did I long go? Don't you want me? Don't you want me no more? I've got this burning, yearning feeling inside me. It burns like a fire, and it hurts me so. Ooh, baby, baby. Did I love go? Ooh, don't you want me? Don't you want me no more? Ooh, baby. You don't. I will
and I'm hoping that you'll be waiting. Please wait for me till I come home. You don't know how it makes me feel, but I'm hoping that you understand. I hated to leave you all by yourself, and I'll be back home as soon as I can. Now please don't let this be no problem, 'cause we've had these kind of problems before, but I'll always love you. Ooh, baby, that I'll always love you. Oh, baby, forevermore. Now I've learned my lesson, and I hope you'll take me back, and I doubt if I'm gonna see you before I go crazy. I'll always love you. Ooh, baby, said I'll always love you. Said I love you, baby. I'll always, always love you, baby, baby.
I'd like to welcome Road to Stardom and John Davis, Johnny D, in the chat room with Eric Mack and a couple of guests. On Kings of the Morning, by the way, there was Ryan Shaw, I Will Always Love You. He has a version of Bobby Taylor and the Vancouver's record, I Am Your Man. Remember that, Mark?
Just barely.
You don't remember Bobby Taylor and the Vancouver's?
No.
They have Does Your Mama Know About Me? And then they came out with I Am Your Man. Rely on me to supply your needs. Anyway, he has a heck of a version of that song. I'll probably try to play it sometime next year, but not, you know. I just played that one. So, yeah.
Just slightly before me. Just very
slightly.
Just slightly.
How many years younger are you than I am?
Well,
I'm 61.
I'm 55.
Oh yeah, that's not slightly. Back in those days, that was like centuries difference. But anyway, a couple of things that happened. Arnold Schwarzenegger had a outside son, and Casey Anthony, her case, and then there was a case in Italy. That case happened. A black man also ran for president and is no longer in that situation. Charlie Sheen had a breakdown. We'll tell you about that in a second. But in Kings in the Morning, Monday through Friday, we do a top 1,000 of 1,000, and we're down to like 989, I believe. So Monday it'll be 988 or 987, one of the two.
986.
986?
Oh, you got my mic open?
Yeah. Wait, let me ask you something, Jay. Why would you say that if you're like this? He's over there like 986. Like I could, middle telepathy.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, man, you know, Bobby Taylor is really the person who discovered the Jackson 5, the Michael Jackson.
I heard that.
Yeah, he never got credit for it. I'm going to tell you the funny thing about Bobby Taylor.
Okay.
I met him in Sacramento over at a friend of mine's house and where he was staying. And he wanted to tell his story, you know, because he thought it was a big deal and everything.
Right.
Which I'm sure it was to him.
Right.
But he was a thousand and he still had a ponytail.
He was what?
He was a thousand and he still had a ponytail.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I remembered the most about it.
That he had a ponytail.
But he was a thousand.
Okay.
You know, he was, you know, I'm like, dude, the ponytail went out at night. Sometimes on that.
Yeah, he had a song called Does Your Mama Know About Me?
That's
which
funny.
Was a story of a black guy, huh?
Does your mama know about me? I like that.
Yeah, it was a story about a black guy who was dating a white woman. Yeah, I'm going to have to find it and stick it in the key so you can hear it. You know,
yeah,
just
you
like
let me hear that.
Yeah, Society's Child by Janis Ian. She was a white girl dating a black guy. You know, and that was like ahead of its time back then. You know, wow. But that was a.
Until next year.
Huh?
This is your last show until next year.
Yeah, it is. You know, only hours. You know, five hours away, and it'll be 2012. But every day. Go ahead. Somebody's phone is. Let me find out who it is. Could be your phone, Jay. I can't believe it.
Is it my phone? I'm on a headset.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay, so put, you know, when people are like that on my show, I put them on mute. Put me on mute.
Okay. Maladen Ranges 1.
Oh, hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Who's this? How do you pronounce your name? How do you pronounce that? Okay, he went. He left. Okay. Well, anyway, that was nice to have a visitor to check it out. Okay, now, I mentioned a couple of things. Charlie Sheen, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Casey Anthony, Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, you know, did some kind of scandal, but he's still running for president. You know, Aaron, which one stood out more to you? And, you know, tell me a little bit about why.
Probably Herman Cain. Just the whole ridiculousness of his candidacy, you know, it was just, it was funny to me, you know, and I'm glad he bailed out finally, but, you know, just people were even taking him seriously, you know, that just, it was funny to me.
You know, I think it was all a setup because, you know, Mitt Romney does not have any pizzazz, no action. There was no action. You know, that doesn't mean he can't win, you know, because I don't know. You know, everybody thinks that Obama's still going to win the election, but, you know, nobody knows for sure. And Mitt Romney, who's talking? Nobody's talking about him, very little. And Newt Gingrich, you know, he had a few scandals or something, his wife, blah, blah, blah. You know, now he has this financial thing that is, but it's not stopping him, and he's been in a couple of polls ahead.
Newt can't win.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
None of them can. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys this right now. Barack Obama is the Republican candidate, and he's going to win.
Right. What do you think is going to happen in his election? Are you going to talk about that on your show tomorrow?
No, you know, tomorrow I'm just talking about predictions. I'm giving everybody a chance to make a prediction. He's going to win. I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen. He's going to be the president for another 4 years. It's mandated. The Republicans have made it clear that they want him to stay the president. And you can tell that by the weak feel that they have produced for us to use. I mean, when Newt Gingrich can be anywhere near the top, when a black man can be, you know, a headliner in that party, you know what they're saying to you is, we like this guy, we like the Democrat, and we like him so much, we're not going to put any opposition against him.
Right. Who do you think would have been the better candidate to beat Obama?
They have a Republican governor out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Who's done some incredible things in that state.
Right.
And has revived the economy.
Right.
And he's a star of the GOP. He's one of the rising stars.
Right.
I can't recall his name right now, but he...
Chris Christie.
Yeah.
But
they're grooming him right now. But,
right.
You know, if they really were trying to make a run for it,
yeah,
they would have really made sure that that guys like him would have been in there.
Right.
Well, Christie has some baggage in itself.
Who does?
Everybody does. Everybody does. But they would have. I mean, those are the kind of guys to me that they would massage and manicure to be at the forefront of the Republican ticket. Those are the kind of guys and all the baggage that they had, they would have aired it out right now. So come general election time, you know, just like Barack Obama, you know, any baggage that could have happened for him happened in the Democratic primary.
Right.
So when it came down to the general election, there was nothing new that they could bring up on Barack.
Right.
You know, the thing with the minister, everything that came out, you know, his inexperience, all that stuff. And it was his oratory and his intellect, the stoplight, and his intellect that really carried him to the top. I mean, the genius way they put the campaign together to really reach out and touch the people, especially male and female whites that were 40 years old and younger.
Right.
That, you know, that's Sean Hannity and, Bill O'Reilly and the rest of the Fox News network really tried to coerce and entice into going against Barack and tried to make us believe we're against Barack. But when it all came out, you know, that's why he was the president.
Right.
Or why he was. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, but Barack did a disservice to himself by not living up to the promise of being a president of change. And, you know, I didn't care anything about what, you know, because he inherited a mess.
Right.
So I didn't expect him to do anything with the mess. But I expected him to be really different with the people, where the people were going to benefit from his presidency, i.e., you know, through the loan remodification with the banks. I thought that he would really hammer the banks and make them remodify home loans because they were involved with the Ponzi scheme with our government and with brokers. And I expected him to do that. I expected him to take care of small business, and I expected him to make insurance companies and car companies really pay the price for the premium that they charge the American public for making cars when it's so much more cheaper, you know, because technology has made it that way. But we keep ignoring technology and acting as though, and prices keep going higher and higher. And this is what's really causing inflation, whether we know it or not, is that, you know, that prices keep getting higher, but wages don't.
Right.
So, you know, you got homes that are, you know, that are million-dollar homes that, you know, even 15 years ago, we're selling for $200,000.
Right.
And that's crazy, you know. So the prices are going up, but the wages aren't. And if we, you know, we could manage inflation if we manage greed a lot better.
That ain't going to ever happen. Hey, you know, earlier we talked about Troy Davis. And, you know, you mentioned Obama, and Aaron Anderson mentioned Troy Davis, you know. And I know that you had a view on the Troy Davis situation, which had to be like one of the saddest things, to be confined and didn't do something, and then to be murdered, to be killed, and you didn't do it. You know,
right. I think Barack, that was the time again for Barack to be a different kind of president.
Right.
Somebody who would look at something and knowing the plight of the African American, especially the African American male, and not stepping up being an African American male.
Right.
And not stepping up and saying, you know what, I have to step up in this case, you know, because I am a president of African descent, and even though, you know, I can't get involved with all these things because of the president, I'm a president of the people. when there's a possibility of an injustice taking place, I have to be a president of principle and of leadership. And you know, and I have to set a new pace in this country, because there have been so many misjustices and miscarriages of justice that I have to stand up and I can't let this go down.
He would have been a great humanitarian. He would have been a great humanitarian.
That would have been, to me, the most courageous. That would have been one of the most I just think small acts like that would have made Barack Obama great.
Right.
What it does is it makes him, in my eyes, and, you know, I know everybody, you know, African-Americans are happy that we have a black president.
Right.
I don't want a black president. I want a fair president. And if he happens to be black, then I'm going to be cool with that. But I just want a president that's fair, that's for the people, that really will do things that are outside of the box of what a president does now, which is follow the status quo.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and I think even for us, Lynn, what we do here, on the J. King Network, you know, if we don't follow the status quo of radio or anything that we see in front of us, you know, you and I, we've had these conversations before. When you say that don't happen on radio, but it happened
right.
at the J. King Network,
right.
you know, and I think that you got to be willing to put, even if your opinion isn't of a popular stance. You got to be willing to put it on the table and then have a real strong argument for why you feel the way you do.
Right.
You know, and this is where, you know, the beauty of what we do is that people can disagree, and, you know, and with each other in an open forum, and, you know, and still love each other and still respect each other and still, you know, and know tomorrow we can come back to that forum without judgment. And I think that's what the presidency is supposed to do. That's the pace he's supposed to set for the United States of America, because that's how powerful his voice is.
Right. And he didn't do it.
Well, you know, I think Jay taps into something there, you know, going back to the Barack Obama thing. You know, a lot of people assume that having a black president is good for black people, but it's almost on the contrary, because it's like he can't touch anything that has race attached to it. You know, he can't touch that Troy Davis case, because the first thing, you know, white America or the fringes of white America is going to say is, you know, oh, look at him. He's letting black people off now that were, you know, murderers or whatever.
Yeah, but white people let white people off. You know, when you get a pardon,
Lynn, you know it's different for us.
And of course.
But that's what would have made it great. That's what would have made it different. That's what would have made it such a historic moment. So you helped me win my argument.
I agree with you because I'm black, but that's not going to win you over
for
re-election.
But I understand that you're saying.
I disagree. I think those are the things. See, and this is where, to me, we get so small-minded, because we think based on something that was precedent-setting before that this is why this won't happen or this is why that won't happen. When in fact, these are the reasons why it probably will happen, because people will say, "Wow, finally courage!"
Right.
Finally, somebody who's willing to put it on the line for it to reverberate back. And say, you know, even if it's not popular for the first 6 months or the first year, but it reverberates back and people say that was the right thing to do, because when you find out that the guy did not commit the crime.
My God, it would have been a whirlwind worldwide. He would have never been able to live down the great thing that he did.
Right.
If they'd have found, you know, and I believe they would have found out that the guy was not guilty. And that would have been like, ooh.
Look at Muhammad Ali. He is the greatest boxer in the world because he stood up against a system and a tyranny. Said, we're a country, you know, we're going to war, and if you don't go to war, you're anti-American. And he said, "Ain't no Viet Cong ever called me a nigger."
Right. Right.
And when everybody was against him, black athletes, the black press, when everybody was against him, he said, "This is what I believe in. This is who I am. This is my religion. And everybody has even questioned whether it was really his religion. To this day, he's a Muslim.
Right.
But see, the difference between
in your mind, because you're gonna quantify it by how you think, but you can't quantify the greatness of who he is no more than you can quantify the greatness of a Franklin D. Roosevelt or John Kennedy, who you can bet your last $3.50 when they did the things they did that were unprecedented. People said how it was supposed to be done.
The reason why those things work for Muhammad Ali is because he's more one-dimensional. I mean, he's a boxer, and then he had that going on. And
that pretty much consumed his career.
Well, you expect your president to be multifaceted. The Troy thing did happen. It would have been a blip on the radar screen politically speaking, for Obama.
It would have been great for him to reach down. For him to reach down, has been so deep in this country, I cannot allow it, even because this blip is going to change the thought process in this country. I have to change it from the blip. The problem with us is that we think it has to be some big monumental thing for the change to happen, and that's not so.
And here's the proof right here, Rosa Parks. That wasn't a monumental thing,
right.
She refused to get up from her seat.
That was a blip. A blip became a national headline. A blip changed the world.
What I'm saying is the reason why this works for those people is because you don't know them to be nothing else. Rosa Parks is the lady who – your president is different. He's got a lot more going on.
This is your thought process and your opinion. That's not the
case in point. Like getting Osama bin Laden. That should have been a much bigger thing than it is, but they suppress it. You know,
because
they suppress anything like that.
They had already killed Barack Obama. He was dead a long time ago.
But still, it comes out that he's dead. You know, he wants to parade that around. It didn't really do much for him politically. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, just for the sake of doing it, yes, you're right. He should have done it, but they expected a whole lot politically.
You know, this would have been the correct way. Let me give you a couple of examples on the bailout for those major companies. They did give them the money, but had that money been proportionately distributed to the people that owed money, that would have been phenomenal. So let's say the people that, you know, Fannie Mae's in trouble, and there's like, you know, 800,000 or 2 million people that have loans with Fannie Mae, the money would have been distributed as a credit to their accounts and brought them clean or brought them up to date or helped them out considerably. That would have been phenomenal. The money that was given to the cars, if they would have passed it on, hey, instead of paying $14,000 for a car, you can get a car for $3,000 thanks to this economic, you know, injection boost. I think with Troy Davis, what Obama should have done is put a stay to further investigation, a 3-month stay. That would have been good to me.
But he didn't have the right to issue a stay. He's
the president.
Federal.
He's got the right to do anything he wants to do.
No,
he's the president.
Doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Does.
We are a country of 50 states. We can only intercede through an action. He can't. It's a state issue.
They would have done it on his recommendation.
They can't. No, and not necessarily. It depends on who's running the things in the state.
Emax says, ain't nothing
governor,
like a passionate debate.
the governor would have listened to the president. You know, no governor would have denied a president that kind of thing. And everybody
that's not
knows.
True.
I mean,
that's
just
simply
not true.
He
could have
tried.
A
Republican
governor
he didn't even
would.
Try.
In fact, if Obama opened his mouth, he might have got him killed. That much faster.
That's what you got to take.
Always got excuses for Barack. One thing I know, he got some excuse. Black folks got some great excuses for him. That's all.
Not excuses. This is the reality. The reality is that the federal government has steps it has to take to intercede in a state's issue.
Is that true?
I mean, it's illegal. It's a legal issue. I mean, so yeah, could Barack
could
have come
have,
out
could he have
and
suggested
said,
it? Could he have said?
Yeah, but I mean, what political? He's not going to gain anything politically by doing that, except alienating people who think that he's you know, harboring and coming to the aid of someone they see as a convicted criminal. Now,
through alienation, sometimes change happens. That's what Muhammad Ali did. He would through alienation. He made a change happen. Through alienation, he became more popular.
Let me give you this scenario. I'm the president of the United States. Not. Okay, and Jay is the governor. Or let's make Aaron the governor. And I'll call, hey, Aaron, listen, you're about to execute this guy. Hey, this is President O. Yeah, me. Hey, why don't you hold off? You know, I don't want to, like, if I tell you to hold off, I'll be overstepping my bounds. But why don't you hold off and do further investigation? He could have done like a on the down low call.
And what you might hear, Lynn, is, hey, Lynn, it's nice to hear from you, but I'll have to check with my party and see if that's allowed. You know, because he's not going to be talking to another Democrat. I don't know who the governor. I assume he's probably a Republican. Making that call isn't going to do anything talking to a Republican governor. He's going to hear that.
And that's what's wrong with politics to me.
It ain't for us.
It's for them. It ain't for us.
Right.
It's for them, and which is the sad thing. Hey, don't forget tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's the Jay King, The Way I See It, 2012 predictions. We're going to look at that. That's 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. At 5 p.m. Pacific today, Saturday, the final day of 2011. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show with Carolyn Sherrod. You know they always, it's about the communication. We're having a communication right now. It's Sessions, Cool Critics. Anna, she's part of it. She had to go to a wedding. I think this is her 10th wedding that she, you know, she's getting married for the 10th. I'm just joking. She's going to someone else's wedding. And Cecilia's been a little down, a little ill, so, but they're still part of the crew. My name is Lynn Tolliver. Mark Dixon is here. Aaron Anderson is the reason why we do this Cool Critics thing on the Jay King Network. Hey, we got a lot of things going. The telephone number is 347-205-9366. Hey, give us a call, y'all. We're having a ball.
On top of me, yeah. But if you think you're gonna get away from me, you better change your
Karen White, Sister Sister on iTunes. K-A-R-Y-N White. Download her new single from iTunes, only 99 cents. Tell your friends to download the song. Text your friends to buy Sister Sister by Karen White. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your MySpace. Email it. Plain and simple, spread the word, children. Karen White's single, Sister Sister, is ready for the download now.
Who's Karen White?
You mean you don't know the Superwoman? Sister Sister, Karen White, for only 99 cents now on iTunes. When you listen to or are on Kings in the Morning, are you free to say and do what you want?
A very little latitude.
The J. King Network is growing in strong numbers.
Can you explain that?
Absolutely.
Well, there's J. King, Johnny Davis, Darius McCrary, Karen White,
Ben Tolliver.
A lot of people are wondering why Robert Redwine is on the show.
Snotty little bastard. My answer is I don't have the first damn clue.
On the J. King Network, you get information, facts, fun, laughter,
entertainment,
and you will always get the truth.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties.
You can't handle the truth!
Lynn Tolliver, Sessions, Cool Critics, Mark Dixon, Aaron Anderson here today. but also Cecilia L. Davis, and Anna Redding. It's the holiday, so they're not with us. So, hey, let me ask you this. Unemployment 2011, how was that?
Horrible.
It was great for me.
You just recently got a job, right?
Yeah, I just recently got a job, and I like it a lot. It's cool, you know.
How difficult was it, you know, looking for a job before you got the job?
Very, very. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it because it's a reality for a lot of people right now, and it was just a reality for me. It still is a reality, really, you know.
Right.
And I can't think of the name of it, but like my whole ego was just kind of shattered from when I wasn't trying to let it show, but you know, I didn't want, you know, I was broke, you know, and I was eating from the food bank, and you know, I didn't want people to know. I tried to put on a good face and everything, and I tried to have faith that things would change and turn around. And it did for me. And I'm hearing a lot of good things about unemployment right now, you know. So hopefully the economy's turning around, and hopefully we're moving in the right direction right now. So
I don't think, you know, I got some information that, you know, let's say you get unemployment benefits for 42 weeks, and, you know, after all the extensions are gone, well, you're not getting any more unemployment benefits. You're not at work, but they're not counting you as being unemployed because they're not paying a benefit.
Right. Those statistics scare me, too, because a lot of times those statistics on how they determine what the unemployment rate is based on new claims. So maybe, you know, there's a lot of people who are still unemployed, but they're not being counted because they're not one of the new claims that, you know, new claims have dropped.
And here's the trick in that perception. The trick in that perception is, you know, you're not counted as unemployed. So, you know, like specifically, it's those that are receiving the benefits or filing the new claims. So now what happens? Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Not even the people who are receiving the benefits. It's just the new claims. So new claims have gone down, but not necessarily unemployment.
Unemployment. So when you hear that number and you think you're part of that number because you don't know the true definition is what my point is, you know, that's the perception. The perception is if the claims have gone down and unemployment has gone down, you know, you think that the situation is getting better when in reality it may not be.
And let me say, too, you know, it's the quality of the job you had, you know, because what I don't tell people when I say I have a job is that I'm working as a temporary right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm working through it, so I'm not a full-fledged employee where I work. You know, I'm hoping that will change. You know, a lot of times you take these assignments and they're what they call temp to perm, you know, where
right,
the company is looking to hire you. And I don't even have that guarantee, you know. So I'm hoping to be there for a while, prove myself, and hopefully in the end they'll say, come on board.
Right.
And there seems to be a trend that's happening right now. A lot of companies are downsizing their own human resources department and contracting out, you know, for employees that way. And then, you know, if a guy doesn't work out, they don't even have to make the call to say, you know, bye-bye.
Right.
It's like they're contracting out their human resources. So
no benefits.
Of, no benefits. You know,
no
a lot
benefits,
of people had
no contracts.
I've had a lot of days off because of the holidays, but the regular employees are getting paid for those days, and I'm not. You know?
Right.
So.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, the other dynamic in this are the underemployed. You know, people who once made a really decent living wage.
Right.
Know, and now just, you know, part of the working poor.
Right.
Right.
The statistic says that half of America is either poor or making below average income.
But you know where it all stems from? You know, I was just sitting here thinking education is the key. You know, we're going to be in this position. We're going to lose our status as being one of the superpowers in the world because, you know, I heard a statistic the other day where I think it was like one in every four kid graduates or only 25% of Cleveland schools graduated.
Okay.
I mean, that's pitiful. You know, we're not learning anything today. In the countries like India, you know, they have a thirst for knowledge. They have a thirst for schooling. And all these other countries, you know, they're thirsty to learn. And, you know, we can't seem to get our kids to want to know about anything, and let alone what's, you know, mathematics. You know, and what can help make you an engineer or something, you know. And this country is suffering because, you know, pretty soon, and it's cheaper. Not only do these people are the people in other countries smarter, but they're willing to do it for cheaper than what we're willing to do it for here. And pretty soon, you know, it's great, like here in the Cleveland area, we have Cleveland Clinic everywhere. But if you're not manufacturing something and sending it out for export, you're not really making any money. We know we can't become a country where we just service everyone. You know, we just service each other. You know, we have to produce something. And if we don't get on that ball, you know, America's, you know, I shudder to think what's going to happen to the future generations. You know, what this country's going to look like for them.
Okay. One of the big stories that was hot and heavy for a while was, you know, I mentioned the cases. The Casey Anthony case was a big one. And I forget the girl's name that was in Italy. She was found guilty, and then they had a trial later, and they overturned that guilty thing, and she was able to come home. And then Conrad Murray was found guilty. Which one of those cases, Aaron, stood out more to you?
Of the cases you listed, I definitely.
Or if there's another one, yeah, bring that one up.
Definitely Conrad Murray. I mean, you know, he took away someone that was a hero to me. You know, I love Michael Jackson. You know, maybe hero is a strong word, but, you know, for lack of another one right now. You know, I love Michael Jackson. You know, when he died, it was like losing a family friend. You know.
So, but do you think Conrad Murray got what he deserved? Or do you think that Michael Jackson?
I'm always on the fence with that because I know in prior shows I said that he should probably only do maybe 2,400 months. I mean, 24 months. But, you know, the sentence he did get was a lot stronger than what I hoped for. But when I hear the testimony and when I think back on how he was so neglectful in his work, you know, I think he got what he deserved, you know.
Yeah, but do you think that if Michael Jackson didn't want the drug that he was using, don't you think he would have found someone else to get it? If, you know, if he really wanted, hey, Conrad, you know, you're going to give me, no, you know, it's not good for you.
You're right, and that's why I say I'm on the fence, because originally my position was, you know, Michael Jackson would roll in his grave if he saw Conrad Murray on trial, because I'm sure Michael Jackson, he understood the position he put this man in, but he wanted that propofol.
Right.
You know, and Conrad Murray was probably trying to be a good friend and do what Michael wanted, you know. The thing I take issue with Conrad Murray is that he left the room, you know. Give him all the propofol he wants if that's the relationship you have, but at least tend to him and make sure that it's done as safely as possible, especially for the money you're getting. You know?
What if Michael Jackson said, hey, after you get this going, get out?
I can't imagine he would say that.
Well, why not? I mean, he's Michael Jackson. Because if he's asleep, how would he know whether he got out or not? You know, so it's like, I'm pretty sure he had a huge room. He could have sat in one of the corners of the room and talked to his girlfriend while, have you ever visited in the hospital somebody that was sick and you're on the phone with someone else? Yeah. So I'm saying, like, hey, after you inject me with the propofol, get out, because I don't want you in here. Now, if something happens, you know, we got to set up, you know, you can come in every once in a while and check on me, but get out. How do you know?
I mean, I can't imagine that scenario, but, you know, like you said, you know, you never know with Michael. But, you know, in the end, that's why he's a doctor. He's a professional, and that's why he shouldn't even, you know, do anything like that, you know. And that's why I kind of
happy that
opinion.
He got 2 years, right?
That's why I changed my opinion. Well, he's supposed to be sentenced to 4, but he probably
only going to do 18 months.
I kind of feel like you should do more. You know, and I said before that I feel like you should do less, but now I'm kind of like, you know, that's what you go to school for. You know, that's why you become a doctor, to do things to protect us. You know, and when we want to abuse certain things, you tell us no. You know, you're supposed to be the buffer.
You know, like this. Well, I've advised you. You know, when you get an operation, because I had a hip operation. You know, they made me sign a waiver that if anything happens, hey, you signed off on it. You know, we're going to be cutting you. We're going to be giving you this medicine. Hey, you may not come out of the operation. That's
but
just a slight chance. You sign here.
Yeah,
okay, now, are those doctors blamed when someone dies?
No, because they're performing approved procedures. You know, this is an approved procedure for this problem, you know.
Okay.
Not being able to sleep.
Yeah, but you know, but sometimes they're sued if they didn't follow the procedures.
Okay,
and that's what malpractice is.
Right.
Or if they didn't diagnose properly, or you know, did follow established procedures.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of torn on Conrad Murray too, because I don't think the world really understood the combination of the power of Michael Jackson and the depth of his addiction.
Right.
You know, so, you know, like you were saying, Lynn, it's like, you know, Michael Jackson has the power to say, give me this drug and get out the room.
Right, and get
now,
out. You know, give me this and get out.
Get out here. But does that mean that, you know, Murray didn't have the fiduciary responsibility to say, No,
okay, let me ask you this.
I'm going to
put this question to both of you. Okay, I'm a doctor, and you come see me, and I say, okay, Mark, you're going to have to take, you know, these two pills, one in the morning, one at night. You got to take them for 3 months. You got to take them. Got to. Because if you don't take them, you know, you're going to get ill and you'll probably die. Aaron, this medicine that I'm giving you, take 2 tablespoons, like, every 4 hours. You got to. Okay, then you don't do it. And then you die, both of you. Am I guilty?
No.
Okay, and the other thing, I tell you not to take. Hey, what do you take, you know, what do you take already, Mark? Prepalabala? Yeah, hey, and you're taking Gizzo too? Hey, stop taking Gizzo. Yeah, but Doc, you know, when I take Gizzo, like, I get a lot of ideas. Mark, stop taking Gizzo. Stop taking it. Okay, and you take it anyway, and then you die. Am I guilty?
No, because you've done your duty.
Okay, yeah, so now, if he told me like this, and as he's injecting Michael Jackson, you know this ain't good for you. You know you died already once using this. Hey, listen, let me tell you something, Conrad. If you either give it to me or, you know, I'll get somebody else. That's what I've been doing. I've got different identities. I've been another doctor. You're not the first doctor I've been. Hey, either give me my propofol and get your ass out of here.
And Tito, give me that tissue.
So what do you do?
But see,
am I guilty? I'm like this. I want the money.
You know, but being a health provider is bigger than celebrity. It's got to be. And I think that's what made him guilty. In that he has to be as they've said in the political arena, the adult in the room.
Right.
You know, and he sure...
Michael Jackson was 50, though. And I'm not saying, you know, I understand what you're saying. He got to be the more mature person to do it.
Right.
But if that's... Michael Jackson was also his boss.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't think... It's hard to say, but I don't think that many doctors would consider their patients the boss. You know, because doctors generally hold the practice of medicine in such high regard that they're not going to do anything to necessarily breach the promise that they made, you know, when they took their vows.
Okay, you're on a respirator. You're, you know, on that dye machine to prevent you from dying. Who makes the decision to pull the plug? The doctor or a family member?
Well, they actually have to go.
Or you're a person like this. Hey, if I go under and you got to put me on one of those time machines, I'm signing off now. So who is in charge? Is it the patient in charge?
Well, having gone through that, this year, it's really a collaboration. It's like, you know, they give you options on what the quality of life is.
Right.
And, you know, and you've seen that there's not going to be a rebounding of the essence of that person. So, you know, with modern medicine, they could pretty much keep just about anyone on life support
forever,
almost indefinitely. It's just remarkable what they can do.
Right.
But, you know, does it make sense? Is it a good, you know, is it a good thing for the person who's gone through the suffering? Because, you know, pretty much their soul has been depleted.
Right.
You know, their life hasn't left their body, but, you know, you look into their eyes and it's not the same. It's not the same person that they were when they were fully in charge.
Right.
Okay. You know, with Tyrann Murray, you know, there's a big difference between providing the medicine, providing him what he wanted, and personally sitting there and administering it to him. You know, there's a big difference between selling Michael heroin, if that's what he was into, and actually, you know, putting it in the syringe and tying his arm off and sticking the needle in his vein, you know.
So
yeah, true.
The difference there, you know. And that's what this doctor did, is he pretty much, you know, he personally administered it and gave him, I'm sure, part of that money was because of promises he made that he would be there to attend to him, you know, which he didn't, you know. And, you know.
And that's why he was guilty.
He was guilty because he left the room. He's not guilty because he gave him the propofol. Is that what you're saying?
Well, because he blurred that line between being a pusher.
Right,
being a pusher man and
here's a question that I want to ask you.
Responsible doctor.
I want to ask you both. You know, if Michael Jackson was alive, you know, let's say if he died and was alive, do you think that he would think Conrad Murray guilty, or would he say, hey, it was my fault? What do you think? Aaron, what do you think?
No, and that's exactly what I was saying, is if Michael was alive, I think the family spoke on his behalf, but I, you know, what do I know? I'm not a family member, but they say that Michael, you know, will be happy that justice was done. I say quite the contrary. You know, Michael would be quite upset to know that this doctor who was giving Michael exactly what he wanted, Michael knew the position he was putting him in. Like, Michael would be sickened to know that this guy is going to do time for something that Michael begged him for.
Right.
You know, I think he would be sickened to even know that he put this guy in his position and now he's going to do time. You know?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I have to concur with that. And, you know, it probably also depends on what state Michael Jackson was in. I mean, are you talking about a recovering Michael Jackson or a Michael Jackson who was still using?
Okay, now, question number two, because, you know, this Conrad Murray thing. So I don't think Conrad Murray is guilty of anything except for doing what, you know, I know he's a doctor, but, you know, how many other doctors are doing something they shouldn't be doing? And I'm not saying, you know, that doesn't make it right. I understand that. But, you know, in all practicality, I think where the problem is, here's where I think Conrad Murray made his mistake. Not having Michael Jackson sign a waiver.
Hmm.
That's where he made his mistake. That would have probably... Go ahead.
But that's still, I don't know if that would hold up in court. I mean, you can't have somebody
sign
a legal...
Well, you know, if he's wavering, you know...
Yeah, but you can't have someone sign. You know, a lot of people, like when I was a kid, I learned when you're in an arcade, you know, a game, a video game arcade, and they have a sign that says "Play at your own risk."
Right.
Put a sign up that says that's not legal. That's, you know.
I understand that. And, you know, even though things happen, like with Troy Davis, he was, you know, he was killed. He probably didn't do it. You know, and I understand that. And I understand that, you know, sometimes you get sued for something that, you know, you followed all the procedures, and they can still sue you.
And I'm pretty sure he probably did have him sign something. You know, he was hired actually by the company. The doctor was actually hired by not by Michael Jackson, but by the company that was putting on the show. So I'm sure.
Okay, so now why weren't they liable?
So I'm
sure. Or did they know that he didn't do that?
Well, I guess, you know, you hire a doctor. You know, I guess the doctor is liable because you hired that doctor to do certain things, which he didn't do.
Okay, here's the question. Here's question number two. You know that if you drink too much, it's not good for your liver, but you drink anyway. You're drinking. And then, like, where you go to the beverage store, the liquor store, the guy knows you're, like, an outright drunk, you know, but yet he still sells you, you know, your fix. You know, is that guy who sells, hey, man, you know, how many bottles of this stuff are you drinking? All of them. You know, give me that bottle. Hey, I think you had enough. You know,
you can't,
hey, I'm just going to go across the street and get the other one. You know, well, do you want my money or do you want me to go across the street? Okay, so now this guy dies. You know, isn't that basically the same thing?
Well, bars do face that issue all the time. I mean, they are liable. If you see a guy is drunk, you're not supposed to sell him any more alcohol. And bars have gotten sued for just that, providing alcohol to someone who's already drunk and they died on the way home.
And you know, the warning label that's on all alcohol, and just the general, you know, knowledge that,
right,
you know, excessive alcohol is just, you know,
it's hazardous to your health, like cigarettes.
Right. You know, that takes the person who is the merchant off the hook. But, you know, from what I'm hearing, it's the blurring of the lines that Conrad Murray should have, you know, been a lot more aware of, a lot more cognizant of.
So it's the gray area you're talking about.
It's the gray area. You know, he shouldn't have left the room. He shouldn't have been checking his traps, you know, for his girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes girlfriends can be powerful. I'm just joking. He's not going to be the first one that didn't go to work.
Okay.
I'm just joking. Hey, you know what? It's amazing, man. You know, when we start the show, you know, I think, hey, man, is it going to be possible that we're going to talk for 2 hours and play a couple of tunes and get by? And then I'm thinking, you know, it's 6:06, and then when you look again, it's 6:04, just like in school. Remember when you're in school and you're ready to, you know, buzz out the door because school's over, and it's 3:20, and then when you look at the clock again, it's 3:15. It's like time moves back.
Yeah.
But not so. It's like almost 7:55 and almost time to go. So what we're going to do, Aaron, since the Cool Critics is actually credited to you, what do you want to tell people the last day of 2011 for this show as we move into 2012? What do you want to say?
Well, you know, I really appreciate being able to do this show. I appreciate all the listeners because without them, we have no show. We have no reason to be here.
Right.
And, you know, it's really a blessing to me to be able to come here and do the show and espouse my opinion. And, you know, and sometimes I get feedback, and sometimes, you know, people, you know, I'm happy that people are actually listening, you know. And because we do it for you, you know. And I hope we get better and better and better. And I hope we grow and grow and grow. And, I really appreciate the whole being able to do this show. I mean, this has been one of the biggest things in my life for this year that I'm thankful for. So,
2012, it can get bigger. The website's going to come back and the columns are going to, you guys can start doing your columns again. So,
yeah, I got to get those to you too. So, but,
yeah.
You know, that's, I really appreciate that, and I hope it keeps going forever. So,
okay, Mark.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, this has been a fantastic voyage for me. You know, I've never done anything like this. I've always enjoyed writing, and I'm not never short on opinions. So, you know, what a wonderful venue that to express this. So, much kudos to Mr. Tolliver.
This I'm just a guy.
Yeah, but you know what a guy. It's been a great thing being able to reconnect with the old neighborhood and kind of bring those things forward into 2012. It's going to be an incredible year.
A lot of
promised in this year.
This is what I'd like to say. I'd like to thank Aaron Anderson for asking me about Amy Winehouse. And then we started talking, and then the Cool Critics here. It was just Sessions before, but now it's Sessions with the Cool Critics. And, Aaron Anderson is the guy that came up with that concept. I came up with the concept, but it was because of Aaron Anderson, Cool Critics. And, Mark Dixon, hey, it is a great thing to reconnect with the old neighborhood. You lived on 175th Street. I lived on 176th Street, and I was the paper boy for those two streets in Tarkington. So that was a fantastic thing. This is what I always say. I'd like to, make it from the beginning to the end, from birth to death, with as few complications as possible. Because that means it would have been, kind of nice. And it's kind of nice now, 61. And I look forward to moving back to Cleveland. I'm going to be living with Sharon. We're going to get married. That's going to be, I think that's going to be a nice thing. In fact, I know it's going to be a nice thing. So I'm happy about that. And I always have ended my shows. I say a prayer every day on Kings of the Morning. Believe in God because God is love. Love is what the world needs now. Remember in life, nothing is guaranteed but the end of it. We're born to live and then we die. But then between birth, the beginning, and death, the ending, that middle part is up to you. So do what you can. I'd like to thank Eugene Norris. I always notice his number. I sometimes forget to say hello to him, but hey, Eugene, and hey, gang, God bless you. Happy, happy new year, maybe 2012. Turn around for those that need it turned around and continue to blossom for those that are on the path to doing well. This has been Cool Critics. My name is Lynn Tolliver. Rodney Jackson, welcome to my house with Carolyn Sheradas. Next, in a matter of moments, take care, the J. King Network.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.